Welcome to the 12th House Podcast. I'm Michelle, the co-host and your head witch in charge here at Holisticism. I started Holisticism to help creative, intuitive, spiritual people actualize through their sacred work. And at the 12th House, that's what we talk about all day long. We give you tools to do whatever it is that you're here to do. That's going to be intuitive business practices like sales, marketing, branding. That also means learning about things like self-knowledge, spirituality, creativity, everything that you need to really expand as a person. I think that running a business is one of the biggest opportunities to level up and grow as a spiritual being. So join us twice a week to talk about everything you could possibly need to get the expansion pack and jump to the next level. Think of us as your metaphysical BFF who's obsessed with productivity and intuitive business, but definitely has your human design chart memorized. We're pretty fun. I think you're going to love it. Make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast and let's get into today's episode. Hi, Wallace.
Hi, Michelle. How's it going?
I wish I could hug you. I'm going to have to hug you through the airwaves.
I know. It's so much fun recording IRL soon.
I know. Soon. Yes. Speaking of fun things, today is a topic. Okay. I couldn't believe that we hadn't talked about archetype embodiment on the podcast before.
Turns out we haven't fully, which is wild.
We've touched it. We've briefly brushed upon it, but we haven't gone into the deep of archetype embodiment. And it's so fun. Like it's just so fun.
And it's such an evergreen topic that I feel like we're always finding new angles to approach it and talk about it. So let's get into it. Today, this episode is going to be good if you're into archetypes, but you're also confused about what archetype embodiment means. Or if you get it as a concept, we're going to go through also step by step how you can think about this in a really fun, adventurous, creative way.
I think this concept brings together a lot of things that you, dear listeners, are interested in, which are creating new habits, seeing the world differently, creating magic in your life, and quote unquote manifesting what you want, bringing it into the world, right? In a non-traditional way, not just like creating SMART goals around something, but how can we find more ease and fun and flow and that spark, make it more sparkly, the things that we're doing every single day. And archetype embodiment to me is like the ultimate hack to seeing the world differently and also basically like inheriting superpowers or unleashing superpowers that you already have, but you forgot about.
Yeah, putting on a new lens. And to your point, I really love that you said manifestation because it is another way to manifest whatever it is that you want. So that's what we're going to talk about.
Amen. And I'm going to just add one like spooky, whatever, like more mystical perspective on archetypes. But I love the Akashic Records. I'm a certified Akashic Record reader. Put my glasses on. But that just means that I've read a lot of people's Akashic Records and practiced it a lot. And one thing that I love about the records is that they remind us that our past lives, we've been incarnated into infinite archetypes and infinite characters. So when we ask, what are my skills or talents? Sometimes the records will be like everything because you were a master sculptor in one life. You were an incredible salesperson in another life on all these alternate dimensions that we have access to. And I think that archetypes for me remind me that I already have that potential inside of me to be amazing at something. I just have to remember how to do it. And embodying the archetype that has that superpower helps me remember. It's just a process of remembering and that makes it more fun.
I love thinking about that idea when you think about people who seem to be born with innate talents in a past life. Maybe they were honing that, or maybe for a few lives, they've been working on those skills. And now they show up in this lifetime and they're like, hey, I got it together in that area.
Totally. Yeah, that and also when we look at our north node and south node, your south node was what you were in your most recent past life, if you ascribe to astrology. And so it's where I like to think of like your muscle memory of how to do things is. And your north node is what you're stepping into. It's what you're meant to learn and practice in this life. And it might feel more challenging because you're flexing it. You're working on it. You're actively working on it in this life. So all of those things layered on top of this conversation, why would we use archetype embodiment to just get whatever we want and to manifest something new or to start a new project? Anything else about why we would do it?
To have more fun while you're doing it, to think outside the bounds of sometimes our small little brains are basing things on what we know and our current situation. And this is such a fun way to get out of your own way and think outside the box.
Yep. Amen. And one thing that we say a lot is to collapse a timeline. You need to create a paradoxical move or make a paradoxical move. And a paradoxical move is just doing something or seeing the world through a radically different lens than how you typically see it. It doesn't have to be something crazy. I don't know, cutting off all your hair, burning down your house and moving to another country. Like, those are paradoxical moves, but they're pretty high stakes. A paradoxical move is just deciding that instead of being like, oh my God, $4 for coffee is a high crime. Instead of saying that, saying, oh my God, $4 for coffee? What a blessing. It could be $7. That's a paradox. That's a shift, right? That's a mental shift. And sometimes it's easier for us to take on mental shifts like that and practice them when we're embodying an archetype. So if you want to collapse a timeline, if you want to quote unquote quantum leap, archetype embodiment is for you.
Okay, let's get into the steps or the journey.
Let's just dive right in. There are 4 steps to archetype embodiment, and that's it. They're pretty easy. So the first step is to accept the quest. And this also comes up in our 13 rules for Squiggly Brain Witches, which is our personal manifesto at Holisticism. But accepting the quest is also part of the hero's journey. So when it comes to archetype embodiment, accepting the quest just means, what is it that you want to do, that's calling to you, that's exciting you? What are you envious of, what that other people are creating or making or living? What makes you think, oh my God, that would be so cool, I wish I could do that? What keeps coming into your orbit, knocking on your door, and or a little wink from the universe that's perhaps inviting you to feel into? What does accept the quest mean to you, Wallace?
Yeah, I feel like this is a perfect way of thinking about noticing the synchronicities that are showing up. And what are the invitations, maybe explicit, maybe less obvious? Sometimes they're actually not really obvious, that keep presenting themselves and showing up multiple times. And being aware of those can take like a gentle focus. If you're moving too quickly and if you're not in your own body and awareness and looking for the signs, sometimes you don't see the signs or the invitations, which I think everyone who's really listening to this podcast knows when you feel tapped into that flow and when not. But I think sometimes the invitation is maybe less obvious.
Yeah, sometimes it's like a subtle maneuver. When you decided to go to grad school, was there something, some synchronicities that like came up for you that made you say, oh yeah, that's definitely a quest that I want to accept? Because you're certainly going on a quest.
Yeah, I would say a huge one was just the timing of finding out about this program at the same time that I was moving to New York. And then I think other than that, it was also a lot of little signs related to my undergrad and that felt just so familiar and felt like, oh, this is something I haven't revisited in a long time. And I've been really having a burning desire to in the background, but I haven't allowed myself to seek out that opportunity because I was on different quests before that I had to finish and attend to, especially even just being in California, period.
Yeah. I also remember DALL-E coming out
and that's like true.
You, I think, started a project last summer using DALL-E. And I also remember you going to an art exhibit, and this might've been after you made up your mind, but it was like an immersive, like it definitely had like digital elements to it. And I remember you showing me pictures like on your phone over FaceTime and like how lit up you were by it. And I can't, was that before definitely. Or after you decided to apply?
I think that might've been, I'm thinking of one exhibit at the MoMA that I saw not like months ago. Maybe it was that, but you're right. There were a lot of things happening culturally too that were like very stimulating and had me reacquainted with my interests in like certain part of technology and art and media.
What archetype would you say you were being asked to step into or that you're stepping into with that invitation to quest?
I think many, but a big one that I've been working on is like the beginner's mind and what does it mean to be a student in a different way? Because I think so much of the work that we do and being a content creator, being for you, like being a writer and like a creative, so much of what you're doing is constant study. But I think I'll be stepping into a different world of needing to accept really being a beginner.
Yeah.
The beginner archetype, but the student in a different way. Oh, so many things that I think will have to even evolve as I start school in September that I'm not even aware of yet.
Certainly. Absolutely. And that's the kind of cool thing about archetype embodiment is that it can change whenever you want. That kind of leads us into step two, which is choose your fighter. So step one, accept the quest. Step two, choose your fighter. I always think about this as like a video game, and there's some challenges you need to overcome. And sometimes, depending on the level, you need like different superpowers or different access or a different way of running or jumping. And in order to get to the next level, or at least get the most out of that level. So when once you see, okay, this is the quest, this is the level I'm at, then you have to decide, who's my character going to be? Who's my archetype going to be? And your archetype can be rote or traditional, like the father archetype or the creator archetype or the sage, or it can be an actual real person in the world, or it can be an archetype that you make up. Like, I love the kooky art aunt and everything that she is. I strive to be her. It's one of my favorite archetypes and I just made it up, but there's a bunch of examples that I could give to you of who that might be, who are real people and characters in movies and TV shows and literature. But mostly asking yourself, who is the character that already has what I want? Who is the character that has this life? Not who is the character that's going to work the hardest to get me to what I want, but rather who already has this, where their life already is surrounded with perhaps like knowledge and study and mentorship and peers. Or I'm really thinking about being a grounded, creative mother and teacher to my son. So thinking about what is that person like? What is their routine and ritual? What's their relationship to being at home and being out in the world and their relationship with their partner and their relationship with their children that they already have that's natural to them? And maybe inside of that, like, what are their superpowers? What are they amazing at? What's like a no-brainer for them? So with that being said, Wallace.
Wait, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
When you were deciding, wait, I think we do want to have a kid. Let's try it.
Yeah.
Let's go for it. Did you guys talk about this maybe before you got pregnant or as you were pregnant? Were you looking at other parents in your lives? How did you guys approach that as a couple, as a family?
Yes, we did. We thought about it a lot. We went before we got pregnant, we were just like, let's see what happens. And if it happens, and it happened, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. Very lucky. And then going into like our birth, we wanted to be really intentional. So we worked a lot on like visioning what our birth would look like and bringing Rhodes home. And then also like the types of parent that we wanted to be and how we wanted to feel together as a couple and how we wanted to show up for Rhodes. And that has, I would say, tectonically changed our day to day. Like, obviously, a child, bringing a child into the world definitely changes your relationship and how you spend your time, but it's really changed how we work and how we split our time. And we didn't have a ton of like in real life examples of friends who had kids that were like us. So it was fun to like invent that for ourselves and write down like what that archetype might look like for each of us. And it's been really interesting to see my husband level up into that identity shift. And also I think for him, like disorienting to leave behind that old identity that's so familiar to him, almost like single guy, creative artist who gets to do whatever he wants, doesn't have a boss and no one tells him what to do. To now, he's really shifted his relationship to that and it's very cool and he's done an amazing job. So yes, we thought a lot about it.
I also love that if you don't have any examples necessarily of the exact image that you're trying to create together, the exercise of figuring that out for yourselves and then as you come together with those new archetypes, what that relationship looks like together. Did you guys actually write anything down together? Did you have moments where you journaled about it?
Definitely did. Yeah. I have no idea where those notes are now, but we spent a lot of time like thinking about and talking about how, especially like romantically, we wanted to relate to each other in front of our son, like to show him that we're not just like roommates, like to model for him a loving relationship and a healthy romantic relationship and sensuality and love, what love looks like, love for him, all that stuff. We talked a ton about it and we're still working on it, but it really helps me, especially to think about a couple archetypes that I might have in my mind that I'm embodying constantly in different areas of life. So I might embody a different archetype when I show up for work versus when I leave this little office in our backyard and I walk into my home, I'm embodying a different archetype and showing up as a different archetype. And that to me is really helps me compartmentalize and feel like the fullest version of myself at the time, because I can like dip into different vibes, different vibras.
It's making me think of the exercise, and we have a great workshop on this in the North Node about casting your archetypal wheel.
Yeah.
Because it's really like you're always a composition of a few dominant archetypes. And of course, you're going to be swapping them in and out and moving between them as you move into different spaces.
Okay. Very exciting news. The doors are now open to our private members community, the North Node. Wow. So exciting.
Crowd goes wild. But really, this doesn't happen often. And this is your chance to come and join us in our wonderful membership community with other intuitive, squiggly brained baddies.
Amazing people. True. When people ask me like, what is the North Node for? First off, we've been running it for the last 4 years. So it's this gigantic library at this point of lessons, courses, challenges, spiritual workshops that we've taken from the holisticism team and from guests. But so there's a lot there just in and of itself in the library. But I really think that the North Node is for someone who is at a crossroads. I think about the hero's journey and when the hero decides to take the step into the special world from the ordinary world. And I think that's what the North Node is for a lot of people. It's them saying yes to this quest or to walk down this new path, to get out of their how they've been thinking normally or for the last couple of years, to get out of their rituals or habits that have created the life around them that they look at and they're like, I don't know if this is still for me, but they're not quite sure what comes next. And for some people, that's running a business or starting a business. For others, that's a creative endeavor. For other people, that's like moving across the world. It's different depending on who you are. And I love that the North Node supports all of those things. Yes, there's intuitive business support, of course, and knowledge. There's spiritual support, there's self-knowledge. But really, I think what the North Node offers is different prisms through which to look at and understand your world and how to apply a lot of what we do here, talking about different styles of thinking, how to actually implement that in your life, whether it's in your business or your personal practice or in your relationship.
And to Michelle's point, it's really comprised with so many different people. It's not just business owners. We have something for everyone at any transition point. We would love if you came and join us.
There's a lot more to the North Node. Every quarter, we have a different concept. We teach a course. We have guest experts come in. And then we have an implementation challenge so that you can take what you've learned in theory and apply it to your life. In addition to live workshops, live events, Akashic Records readings, astrology readings, human design readings, one-on-one work with the team, all of the above. But you can learn more. There's not enough time to go into all of it. You can learn more by checking out the link in our show notes. The doors to the North Node are open from today, actually from summer solstice, June 21st, all the way to July 2nd. And then our summer quarter begins on July 3rd. So if you are down to join us, we'd love to have you. And you can learn more at the link in our show notes.
I think that brings us to our third step, which is going full method.
Yep. You got to go. You got to go for it. So once you figure out what your archetype is, then you're going to write down everything that you know about them. So let's take the kooky art aunt because it's one of my favorites and I embody her a lot. So what is her vibe? Like, she is braless. She is free. She loves a harem pant. She has a crazy garden that she tends to all the time. She wears a like amazing weird hat. She probably lets you smoke weed with her, right? She's like your cool aunt. She definitely gives you your first tarot deck. She is the person that you can talk to about sex, but she also like is going to tell you when she doesn't like your boyfriend and exactly or partner and exactly why she doesn't like them. She's also like probably a creative free spirit and a little bit rebellious and a little bit like stick it to the man vibes. So if that is this type of person and we're stepping into her shoes and thinking about how she sees the world, then we're going to do that all the time. Basically, the way that she works through the world and inhabits the world has created the life around her that she has. So has created that expansive garden in the back, has created a lifestyle where she doesn't need to go to a 9-to-5 job, has created an open and honest relationship with the people around her. So that's what I'm trying to emulate, right? That's what I want. I want all of the, I want that part of her life. And maybe I also want the cool clogs too. That's totally fine. But I want these other things that by just being her, by going through the motions and making the decisions that she makes, she has created this life around her. So that's our like, our thesis is that our actions create the world around us. We don't like manifest out of magic, out of nowhere. We manifest, quote unquote, by doing and being in the world. And our actions create the things that we want, or they bring them closer to us.
What I think is interesting about this is also sinking into going full method doesn't mean you're like a method actor pretending to be a totally different character. It's figuring out and tapping into what parts of you already resonate with the traits of this archetype.
Yes.
So maybe you're like, okay, I don't like clogs, or you're like, I don't have a garden in my situation, you know, where I'm living. It's not really about that, of course. And everyone listening is extremely smart. I know that, but it's not fake it till you make it.
Yes.
It's about resourcing the part of you that already has that.
Exactly.
And sometimes those parts get lost. For whatever reason, like maybe we're in a job where we're forced to be in a certain mode all the time and we just get used to being in that mode. Even after we leave, we've forgotten that actually we don't have to be that way anymore. Or maybe with a certain partner or in a different city. And I think it's just helpful for me to remember that it's not really about actually being somebody else. It's about finding the part of you that resonates with that energy.
Yes, I'm so glad you said that. Okay, let's go back. When we choose our fighter and when we decide to go full method, we're basically just asking ourselves, what would insert your archetype here do with every decision that we make? And we can decide to do it or not, but we're constantly asking that because we want to build our muscle memory of this archetype and the superpowers that they have, the traits that they have. So let's, for example, let's say that you are someone who's living in New York City, you live in an apartment, and you work at like a corporation. Okay. So you like work 9-to-5 at a desk job and you have to wear like, I don't know, hard pants and heels to work every day. Okay. And you want to embody that kooky art and energy. You're like, that is freedom to me. I love that. I want to do that. So when you wake up in the morning, you're going to ask yourself, what would kooky art aunt do today? What would she do to get ready for this job? She might make a little potion or tonic. She might go, I don't know, feed the flowers outside in the planter in front of her apartment building. She might sprinkle some wildflower seeds as she's walking down the street into the different planters on her commute to work. At her desk, she might have a pile of tarot cards instead of just, I don't know, what's at a desk when you're businessy, a calculator? I don't know. She would like create her environment. What else do you think the kooky art aunt would do, Wallace, if they're like stuck in a 9-to-5 job? Not stuck, but if they're enjoying a 9-to-5 job right now and want to bring that energy or that archetype into what they do.
Honestly, maybe even just spending more time outside, walking when you have a break. You don't need a cigarette to do that. Eating outside. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of little parks around. You can always find maybe a bench or a little patch of grass. You can get outside and get amongst the nature.
Yeah.
And I think you can do it even in conversation. Try and strike up different conversation with people or conversations with people about other interests that maybe you're not always open with them about or that you're curious about in other people.
Yeah.
I think you could also maybe volunteer at different places that would help you meet maybe people or just get into the energy of that. So maybe it's a community garden, or if it's more art focus, maybe it's a local art class that you can start taking that's in your neighborhood. I don't know. So many things.
Yeah. Even like I think about the kooky art aunt, like how would she approach an email that or like a passive aggressive Slack message?
Yeah.
She probably wouldn't care. She's like, this is not my identity. This is not my life. Not my monkeys, not my circus. I don't really care.
Yeah. Just like,
I'm sorry. can't be bothered. And like more refreshing to be like, oh, wait a second. What would she do in this moment? Or I'm thinking a lot about dinner parties, obviously, because I'm hosting some dinner parties. And I think a lot about, okay, how would a creative person host a dinner party? And so for me, that instantly goes from I have to have things perfect to let me pick some flowers from the garden and organize, like just put them on the table and make them pretty and maybe open all the windows and add some crystals and flowers and just stuff from around the house to like zhuzh up the space. And it's not, it doesn't cost any money. It's easy. It's not something that I would naturally do, but by embodying that creative archetype in myself, it comes out of me and it becomes natural. And that's the thing about going full method. These decisions become natural to you. You begin to flex these muscles and see the world differently. So instead of immediately jumping to, I'm offended that I got this nasty Slack email or Slack message and I'm going to go on the defensive, you begin to embody that perspective of kooky art aunt and be like, whatever, I'm going to go home at 5.
You're like, that's not my life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, if you want to do it that way, I don't really care. Whatever, it's all good.
Yeah. I think that also is, that makes me think about the idea of when you have multiple archetypes that you're comfortable embodying and that you're, I don't know, like depending on isn't the right word, but you don't have your full identity, let's say, wrapped up in the workplace because you're indulging in these different parts of yourself. So you don't know that, or so you know that when someone is rude to you about something that's not very important or what's really not personal, you can very easily be like, oh yeah, you know what? That's not even about me. And also, even if it maybe is directed at me to get some kind of reaction out of me, I'm not depending on my worth to be sourced from this one area of my life. And I feel like archetype embodiment can actually be really helpful for that too.
Absolutely. That's such a good point. It deflects. It's not about you. It really 99% of the time isn't about you, but the 1% of the time that maybe it's about you and how you're showing up, it's just a sliver of who you are, right? That's getting criticized or whatever. Contain multitudes, obviously. And that's kind of great. You can turn your armor, turn your personality or turn your archetype on that comes through that reminds you it's okay. This one part of me maybe deserves that criticism and that's valid. And that's not all of me. And not all of me is bad or needs to be changed or needs to be like worked on and developed. But I also want to just flag that going full method and asking ourselves constantly, like for every decision that we make, what would my archetype do, can be really exhausting. And there are some ways that some hacks that make this really fun that also bring in more of an like intellectual element that make it easy to remember and embody your archetype. And that's going to be dressing as your archetype, using the same fragrance that your archetype would wear, wearing your hair the way that your archetype would. That is enclothed cognition, which we've talked about on the podcast before. But thesis behind enclothed cognition, this, I don't know, phenomenon, is that when we are surround our environment, our aesthetic environment actually changes the way that we think. So if you're in like a dingy room with overhead fluorescent lights, you will likely be less creative than if you were in a room with lots of natural light and plants and space to spread out that's beautifully designed. And nothing has changed other than your environment and the aesthetics around you. And when you, we've all felt this before, right? When you put on a different, I don't know, you put on like a schlubby shirt and like a bra that hasn't been washed in a while and like sweatpants, you feel a certain way. You might feel really comfortable, but when you put on, I don't know, some tailored pants and a shirt that fits you really well and maybe a little bit of makeup, you feel different.
You add a little zhuzh to it, you feel like a whole new person.
It's true. Yeah. I love makeup and skincare. Mostly
so fun
for this reason. Yeah. I like feeling like a different person or a new version of myself or expressing my different archetypes through how I show up. And I also really love this for scents. So my thing is, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, or maybe on Good For You, I love a little fragrance sampler because fragrances are expensive. Mm-hmm. And depending on the archetype I want to embody, I'll use that fragrance. And it just reminds me of, oh, I'm showing up as like my most regal Queen of Cups self today, or I'm showing up really fun and flirty, the lover today, or whatever archetype I'm embodying.
And also because memory is so tied to scent. So it's so helpful. Even if, let's say, for example, sometimes you are wearing a perfume and you stop smelling it because it's always around you. You don't notice it. And then you switch it up and you go back to that perfume. You're usually reminded of what was happening in your life at the last time you were wearing it. So to your point, switching it up all the time helps you actually like cement memories of what you were embodying at that time, which is so fun.
Did you know that Andy Warhol used to do that?
Yeah, only because of you telling me that. And it's stuck in my memory. It's such a good, I think it's such a cool tool to use also.
Yeah, totally. And very affordable. You don't have to change your entire wardrobe. You can change just your scent. Yeah, Andy Warhol would pick a new fragrance to wear every 3 months, and he wouldn't repeat things because he wanted to like hold on to that scent memory. It's very like Proustian. He didn't want to like revisit the memories too much or compact them and have too many. He wanted to have these like very specific time holders that he could go back to. I just love that. What a nostalgic little guy. I don't love Andy Warhol, but I do like that about him.
It's one of those things that sticks with you because you also see like the practicality in it.
Totally. Yeah. So going full method means full on embodying with the costume that you wear every day, whether it's how you do your eyeliner or the clothes that you're wearing or the shoes that you have on or your fragrance, or I don't know, whether you decide to wear deodorant or not. Those are all choices that can help you embody your archetype.
Is there any archetype you're embodying and experimenting with right now?
Yes, I am deeply embodying creative pragmatist archetype so much. Okay. It's really inspiring.
We're going to talk about this on the pod later, but give a little tease.
So creative pragmatist is from Amy Smilovic, who's from Tibi. She's a designer and just a cool lady, like just a smart, cool woman who I love following on the internet. And she just wrote this book called The Creative Pragmatist. And it's an archetype that she's created. And she shows you how to dress for it and how to think about it. And the sort of tenets of the creative pragmatist are chill, modern, and classic are like the elements of this person. And they're both a creative, like unique thinker, individual, and they can show up and get the job done. And I just love that fluidity in thinking about that and bringing both like my creative side, my cannot be tamed side, and my like very pragmatic side, because I'm pretty pragmatic, like bringing them both together all the time. When I'm doing more pragmatic stuff, thinking about being creative. When I'm being more creative, thinking a little bit more about like pragmatism. So a lot of my wardrobe right now is looking like how a creative pragmatist would dress. And it's a little bit, I'm like employing some of her style and fashion perspectives. And I've got like I've actually got a new scent that I'm wearing alongside.
Yeah. Ooh, that's so fun. Okay. Yeah. We'll link her content and the book in the show notes, but we're going to go deep on that in a few weeks in our Friday philosophy episodes, because I am waiting for the book to arrive.
So I can't wait.
It's going to be really fun.
So excited.
Yeah. So if you want to follow along with us, we'll link it in the show notes. We are fully in support of Amy.
She's really cool. So finally, our last step, we've accepted the quest. We've chosen our fighter. We've gone full method. Now we just have to get our reps in. We just have to keep practicing, because what happens in our day-to-day with, if we think about like atomic habits and ritual, is we create muscle memory, literal muscle memory, and also mental, emotional muscle memory around doing things a certain way, seeing the world through a specific lens. And in order to shake that up and get out of it, we need to flex different muscles. And that's hard at first, right? Just like building a new habit is challenging. It takes more effort, but our habits are compounding. So the more we practice them, the easier they get, and the exponentially more valuable or more output, or I guess better outcomes we get as we continue to practice, because they begin to work on their own. We start to truly see the world like a creative pragmatist, instead of saying, what would a creative pragmatist do? Because I've been practicing that, I am a creative pragmatist. The moment I respond in the way that a creative pragmatist would, I am now a creative pragmatist. Same thing with the kooky art aunt. The moment that I show up to work as the kooky art aunt and answer an email the way that she would, I am being her. And that's really what the embodiment is. It's recognizing that we're not, like Wallace said, play acting or acting as if. We are becoming through action. And that's really how an identity is created. Our identities are created through our actions. So how are you acting? And what is the maybe archetype that you're embodying right now through your actions? Are you cool with that? Or maybe do you want to shift it? And that's like the perennial question, right? Is, am I cool with where I'm at right now? Because we don't always have to be striving and changing and evolving. Like, it's okay to sit for a little bit and like chill. Or is it time to change the archetype that I want to embody? And that's only a question that you can answer yourself.
Yeah, a very helpful way for me thinking about this, when let's say I feel like I've fallen off a habit or my reps for a certain archetype, is what would fill in the blank archetype do. Or for me, it's often I haven't worked out in, say, 4 or 5 days. And by working out, I just mean moving my body, sweating in any way. And I know this makes me feel mentally not good. Mm-hmm. So I say to myself, what would a mentally and physically healthy version of Wallace do? She would go and work out for 30 minutes and get over her excuses. Mm-hmm. Not to say I'm like mean to myself about it, but thinking, what would a creative pragmatist do in this situation? And then it helps you put on that hat very easily.
Yeah. Like in a video game when it gives you like two options where it's like, you can go left or you can go, which one do you want to do? That's like our normal mind, right? But when we employ like an archetype, all of a sudden, a different archetype, all of a sudden, 5 more options come up. It's almost like we didn't even see that those things were there. And now that we're looking through at the world through a new set of eyes or whatever, it's actually, you could go up. What if we burrow under? What if we just stay here and meditate? Yeah. There's so many different pathways. And I think when you feel stuck, it's because you only see one way through, right? You're like, this is the way. This is the only way I know how. And I've been banging my head against the wall or like looking through this window, trying to get through it. And I know what I want, but I just don't know how to get there. And when you employ an archetype, you begin to see the other pathways. And that is what is exhilarating and freeing and exciting, is there's always a more creative way to do things. There is. You just have to find it. And the finding it is where our tools come in, whether it's archetype embodiment or the Akashic Records or the tarot or sleeping or working with a coach. There's so many different ways. But that's the hard part, is the seeing the new thing. Mm-hmm. And then once you have the path, it's, well, now I just have to take the next step. It's simple.
Yeah. And I think this is also a part where you can easily get burnt out quickly, where you're like, I changed all these things. I did things differently and see it's still not working. And this is where you can like self-sabotage or encounter like your upper limits predicament, which we were just talking about the other day. But I think the key thing is to celebrate yourself in small ways as you go when you make even a small change, because it's very encouraging. Sometimes we just need the momentum of, hey, I'm doing the thing in my own way, like baby steps. And it really is compounding. And it's easy, I think, to get frustrated quickly and be like, I changed all these things, but nothing's working yet.
I would argue, or maybe reflect back, if you're frustrated that things aren't changing, is that how your archetype would think? Is that how your archetype would respond?
Yeah.
Just keep asking yourself probably that question. Not. What would they do? I don't know.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Is there anything we're missing about archetype embodiment? That's the long and short of it.
That's a great overview. I think if you are curious to know all the other stuff that we've done on archetypes, we'll link them in the show notes so you can check out all the episodes, because we've talked in a lot of different ways about archetypes. We're going to continue to talk about them in the next few episodes when we cover the Creative Pragmatist on Philosophy Fridays. So look out for that. If you're not subscribed, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and you will be notified when we update with juicy new episodes each week.
Yeah.
Twice a week, actually.
All right. What a time. 2 episodes a week. We're back, baby. And also so happy that you guys are liking the Friday philosophies. They're really fun for us to make. And if you enjoyed this episode or any episode of the 12th house, you've gotten something valuable out of it. It really helps us when you leave reviews on Spotify and Apple. It takes 15 seconds and it is so helpful for other people to find the podcast, especially now that Spotify has a new tab where you can see other podcasts that are similar. So the more that you listen and you share and you give us 5 stars, the more we'll be circulated with other amazing podcasts with like-minded creators. So thank you in advance for that. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for being here with us and for listening. We also make monthly mini audio courses, which you get if you subscribe for $5.99 a month on Apple Spotify, on Apple Podcasts or Spotify Podcasts. It, guys, it's the witching hour, just warning you. But all we do for you, and it's $5.99 a month. So even if you're like, I'm good with the podcast as it is, I don't need an extra episode, it's a lovely way to support your podcast hosts and content creators. It really helps us out. We do a lot of work on this, hopefully, so that it's helpful for you. So it's one way to show support. And we thank you and love you so much in advance for supporting us.
Yeah. Thanks, friends. It's also, if you like, I want to be part of holisticism. I want to take classes, but they're, it's out of my price range right now. Hopefully $5.99, the cost of half a latte in LA, a quarter of a latte in New York.
Literally.
Hopefully that's within your price range. And if not, we also have so many free resources that you have access to. We'll drop those links in the show notes too. And the current one that's beloved and favorited by a lot of people, by 2,000 people, is our 14 days to 100K using creative copywriting. You can find it at holisticism.com.
Yay! Hey. We will see you on Friday.
Okay.
Bye! Bye! The 12th House is produced by yours truly, Wallace Miller-Blancher. Our theme music is made by Nathan McKay, and our wonderful editing is done by Softer Sound Studios, who you can find more information about in our show notes.